Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Today is May the 4th, and it would have been the original end of circuit breaker measures. Yet, on April 21st, our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong announced that the circuit breaker measures would be extended till the 1st of June. We've got David Kuo, who is co-founder of The Smart Investor, on the line with us this morning. David, good morning.
Good morning, Elliot, and may the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you, too. We've got a lot of market-related stuff to talk about, but first, let's go around the room. Guys, what are you looking forward to most when things return to normal? Manisha.
Okay, mine is traveling. Pure and simple. I'm really looking forward to getting back on a plane, actually. I love that feeling when you're soaring above the clouds and all your worries are far away.
Okay, well, for me, a little bit simpler. And when I say normal, I mean normal.
Okay.
I don't want to wear a mask when I go out. So true.
Yeah.
Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, mine is putting my kid back in school, my 3-year-old. So it feels like I'm going back to a second job sometimes, you know, having to do daycare having to plan out the entire day with activities and whatnot. But it has been a great time, you know, bonding, but I need a bit of a break right now.
David, what about you? What are you looking forward to most when things go back to normal?
Well, I tell you what, Elliot, I'm glad we're on the radio at the moment, because if you have a look at my hair at the moment, I almost need an Alistan or some hair grips, right?
Right.
So I am quite looking forward to having a haircut when they relax the rules. Yes.
But the Neanderthal look is in now, right?
Well, I think it's going to have to be, because we have no choice.
Okay. Well, David, since you're talking about your hair, it means that you're over your pumpkin soup moment. That was last month.
I am over my pumpkin soup. And I tell you what, I've actually perfected the soft-boiled egg at the moment. So, I mean, having all this time on my hands. Yeah. So I think Bread Talk and also Yakun will have some competition on their hands, because I've now perfected the soft-boiled egg. Yes.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, from perfecting pumpkin soup and soft-boiled egg, let's move on to perfecting your investments. The outlook for dividend investment. Let's talk about that first. So, David, what would you say? Are the days of income investing over as companies are now putting a pause on these dividends?
I know that's a really great question. And I think a lot of people out there are a little concerned about dividends, because they've seen particularly the real estate investment trusts or the REITs cutting their dividends. And so they're thinking, oh, you know, is this going to be a sign of things to come? But ultimately, what we need to remember is that when companies return to normal, some of them will be making profits. And what do they do with those profits? Well, at the moment, they're holding some of those profits back because they need it for prudence reasons. But ultimately, they need to do something with that cash, and not from buying back their own shares or reinvesting in their own business. Some of it will go back to shareholders. So I think what shareholders need to do is to look really into the future and say, is it worth buying these companies now in the hope that they will start distributing more of their cash, which I believe they will, Manisha. And I'm certainly of the mind that, yes, dividends are lower now than they were last year, but ultimately dividends will return, and I'm not too concerned about dividends at all.
Here's another problem to look at. DBS earnings, for example, out last week, 29% drop in profit. You've got a spike in provisions for bad loans to the tune of $1 billion. So where banks are concerned, we're looking at tough times. How long do you think this is going to last?
Well, you know, it's a bit like asking how long is a piece of string, Elliot. And ultimately, the banks are very prudent at the moment. And it is right, you know, that banks make some provisions for bad debts, because we know that not all companies will survive after this this pandemic passes. And some companies, you know, will decide to call it a day and say they can't carry on. Some will have to call it a day because their customers have completely disappeared. And so the banks have to make those kind of provisions. I mean, $1 billion does seem like an awful lot of money, which it is. But I think of more concern to the banks will be what will happen to interest rates. A lot of people are saying that interest rates will have to remain lower for an awful lot longer now. And I think that will put pressure on the banks in order to generate their profits. But when you have a look at banks, I mean, there are different ways that they can make money. Hopefully, consumers like you and I will go out and borrow a little bit more money when we see prices out there being a little bit cheaper. And we may decide that now is the time to go out and buy that apartment that we want, or maybe that car that we've always wanted, you know, with lower interest rates. So I'm not too concerned about the bank. It's a cycle. And the one thing I say about banks is that when times are good, they make tremendous amounts of money. When times are bad, they get hit really badly. But it's a cycle, Elliot.
Yeah, and maybe you want to see some balance in between and those NIMs under pressure, like you say. Okay, let's talk about Berkshire Hathaway, the AGM that happened. Warren Buffett is selling his stakes in US airlines as well. So many news lines came out of that AGM.
Yeah, I know, Manisha. And the thing is, I never understood why Warren Buffett went in and bought airlines, because he was one of the biggest critics of airlines many years ago. And I think he once said a long, long time ago that when Wilbur and Orville Wright first made that flight, somebody should have actually shot that plane down, because it was really bad for investors. And yet, he has always avoided airlines. Well, he did buy airlines once before. He got his fingers burnt, and he said he would never buy an airline ever again. And then, lo and behold, he went out and bought four airlines in the U.S., and now he's actually sold his stakes in all of them. I've always said that airlines are very difficult for investors, simply because of what we call the operational gearing. In other words, the plane needs to be at least about 80% full before it can even break even. And I heard you sort of talking about, you know, how you like to fly, Manisha, but if ever you get on a plane and you find that it is not 80% full, in other words, there's a seat next to you that is available, that plane is probably not flying at full capacity, and that plane is probably losing money every time it takes off. So I've not been a fan of the airlines. I love to fly, but I've not been a fan of investing in airlines. And I think Warren Buffett has learned his lesson a second time. You know, it's really quite unfortunate that somebody would make a mistake a second time.
Well, putting Warren Buffett on the sidelines, he did say, you know, he wasn't entering the markets yet because things don't look attractive. And the question we've kind of been asking ourselves this morning, David, maybe you could help us out with this. What kind of signal is that? I mean, what will be the post-COVID-19 investment style?
what a wonderful question.
Yeah, especially for you.
I know. Yeah, I'm just looking at my crystal ball at the moment, and it looks really, really hazy. I think it's going to be really, really difficult. And I think what people are trying to figure out at the moment, I mean, we saw that April was one of the best months in the U.S. for about 80 years. And I think what people are trying to figure out is which industries are going to still be around after COVID-19. And I think that is where they're putting their money. So if you have a look at some of the more stable industries, I mean, the people that make things like soaps, the people that make things like soap powder, food products, I think those companies will still be around. So here in Singapore, you have companies like F&N, you know, that will still be around, you know, after COVID-19. And I think those kind of old, boring, stable industries are going to be some of the first ones to recover. Supermarkets will still be around, certainly hairdressers, you know, if I could invest in a hairdresser, I certainly would at the moment. But those kind of industries will probably still be around. But some of the other ones, I think, are going to be a little bit more challenged. And I think that is what we saw in April, that people were placing their money into those kind of companies that they think, you know, have a pretty good chance of surviving. So if you want the clue, have a look at the stock market and see the ones, you know, that have done reasonably well. I'm not saying the ones that have done exceptionally well, because that is where the value hunters come in. But in the middle market, you find a lot of companies that moved up about 6 or 7%, which is pretty good, you know, a pretty good indicator for investors out there.
Yeah, training with David Kuo. He is the co-founder of the Smart Investor. So, David, let's talk about what we should be looking out for in terms of investments when you look at the winners and losers for the month of April. And we saw the STI up 8.6%. That is not as great as S&P 500, which was up 12%. But among the top winners, we saw Yang Zhejiang Shipbuilding up 18%, Venture Corp up 17%, and Tyabev also among the winners. Are these any attractive-looking levels for you at the moment for you to pick it up on?
Well, out of those three companies that you mentioned, two of them are a bit of a head-scratcher for me. I mean, the first one is Yang Zhejiang Shipping, because they build ships. And I just wonder who is actually buying boats at the moment, because there doesn't seem to be a great deal of demand, you know, for shipping. So I don't understand Yang Zhejiang Shipping. Maybe, you know, that was one for the value hunters. Then we have Venture Corp. Now, Venture Corp recently said that they should be able to reconnect all of their supply chains. And they also said that they will be launching new products in 2020. So I think that is probably one that is one, you know, that people can understand, and probably one that could explain, you know, why the shares have actually moved up so much in April. And then we have ThaiBev. And, you know, for drinkers out there, I think a lot of people will be looking forward to going out and having a drink at some point in time. So out of those three, I would say Yangtze was a bit of a head-scratcher. VentureCorp makes sense to me, and certainly ThaiBev makes sense to me also, that it could be hit in the short term, but I think when things return, particularly in places like Thailand, when the exit strategy is announced, then I think, you know, people will start going out and hopefully enjoying themselves again.
Yeah, let's hope that time is soon. And David, just to wrap things up, there's been this saying, you know, sell in May and go away. Is that something you believe in?
Well, certainly not. I think at the moment, when you look at the stock market, it does look reasonably cheap. So my saying is that, you know, I'm always buying shares. And when shares are expensive, I buy less. And when shares are cheap, I buy more. So at the moment, I think the market is still quite depressed. And so that would be a sign for me to go and buy more. And I certainly have been buying an awful lot in April. And I will be continuing to buy in May because my time horizon goes beyond the month, Ryan. My time horizon goes for decades.
Okay, David, always good to talk to you. I hope that we're going to see you back in the studio on June the 1st.
With a short haircut, hopefully, yes, and not a Neanderthal man.
But will you bring pumpkin soup for us? That's the question.
I certainly will bring some pumpkin soup for
Come
you.
On,
and
David.
A soft-boiled egg, yes. Mm-hmm.
Buy a hair clipper and take matters in your own hands like me.
David Kwok, co-founder of The Smart Investor. Thank you, David. Take care and stay safe, yep.
Thank you, and you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.